Bibles, if you'll turn with me to the book of Joshua, as we continue our study through the book of Joshua, chapter 9. Joshua, chapter 9. It's been a bit since we've met because of weather, and the last time we met, we looked at Joshua, chapter 8, and we looked at the fact that Joshua had met with the nation of Israel, as he had been commanded to and told by the Lord, in the valley between two mountains, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And Ebal was the mount of cursing, Gerizim the mount of blessing. Joshua had built an altar at the base of Mount Ebal, showing that the only way that you could come to the Lord and receive forgiveness for that which you had done wrong, where you deserved the curses of God, was through the sacrifice. And ultimately that sacrifice would be Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessings could not be received until the sacrifice had been given. And we looked at that. And after that, Joshua had gone back with the nation of Israel to Gilgal, which was their camp, down in the Jordan Valley, close to the Jordan River. And as they were in Gilgal, an interesting event transpires. A group of people comes to meet them. They say they're ambassadors. Let's take a look at God's Word this morning and see what happens. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side of the Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys and in the coasts of the great sea, over against Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done unto Jericho at Ai, they did walk wily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, and old, and rent, and bound up, and old shoes, and clothed upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went up to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, "We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us." I want to just pause here. There's an interesting thing transpiring. All the nations of the southern kingdoms, these are city-states, city-kingdoms, have heard what God has done through the nation of Israel at Jericho and Ai. Jericho and Ai have been utterly destroyed. They were the two lookout cities, the cities that you had to get by before you came into the land and could attack any of the other cities. Jericho's walls had never been penetrated, yet now Jericho lie in ruins. Ai, the little mountain outlook, lie in ruins as well. And the cities that came further down the road became startled and worried. They'd heard about this God, but instead of repenting and turning to Him, they gather together in a league and they're going to destroy Israel. Sounds familiar to what's happening today, isn't it? Instead of turning to God and the God of Israel, the world gathers together to try and determine how they can destroy Israel and thus destroy Israel's God. Well, there's one group of people that understands that this isn't an option, and it's the Gibeonites. Gibeon was a league of four different cities, and they were of the Hivite group of people. They were Canaanites. They had been one of the group of people that should have been condemned by the Lord, and were condemned by the Lord to be utterly destroyed. But it's an interesting thing. much like Rahab, their response to God was different than their neighbors. They came together and they basically devised a scheme, a lie if you would, so that they could be seen as coming from a far distance away. How did they do that? The scriptures tell us how they did it. They got their clothes. Well, let's take a look again at the verse. It says, and they did work wily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses. In other words, the sacks were dusty. The sacks were dirty. The sacks had looked like they had been well-worn from a long travel. And wine bottles, old and rent. In other words, they weren't fresh new wine bottles that they carried their provisions in, but these wine containers had tears in them, and they were old and well used. And then they also bound them up, and they wore old shoes, clouded upon their feet, and old garments upon them, as if they had been traveling for literally months, and had been a long, exhaustive travel. I want you to just, if you have a map in the back of your Bibles, again, I don't have a map that adequately shows Gilgal, but Gilgal is about 7 miles from where the nation of Israel was camped, from where Gibeon was. 7 miles. But they made it look like they'd traveled hundreds and spent literally months on the road. Their provision, their food, their bread was not fresh and warm. It was hard and moldy. If you can imagine, they must have scoured the city to find this stuff to deceive Israel. Why did they do it? Because they knew that if they didn't do something, they stood to die like those in Jericho and Ai. They had heard of God. They had heard what He had done. They'd heard of the wonders He'd done in Egypt, the wonders He'd done in delivering Israel, the wonders He'd done in delivering Shihon and Og into the hands of the Israelites when they refused to cooperate with Israel. He had seen what they'd done to Jericho, and they'd seen what they'd done to Ai. You know, it's interesting. As I was listening and preparing for this, there's two ways you can look at what's being happening here. Satan is bringing these people, and he's trying to bring... Remember, the Lord said that one of the reasons they were to utterly destroy the Canaanites was that the Canaanites would become something that would be a thorn in the side of the Israelites if they didn't utterly destroy them. Why? Because they worshipped false gods. They were involved in all kinds of occultic practices, really worshipping Satan himself. Because they did that, they were a despicable and awful people who did terrible things. And God had told them, He had given them plenty of time. He'd given them 450 years to repent of their ways. Yet they had been unwilling to do that. They continued to go deeper and deeper and deeper into rebellion against God. And God said the time of judgment's coming. The Gibeonites were to be judged as well. And the Lord said He wanted none of the Canaanites to be living in the midst of the Israelites. What were the Gibeonites doing? They were deceiving so that they could come and that they would be able to maintain their cities, maintain their homes, and maintain their lives where they were in the land of Canaan. They didn't plan on leaving the land of Canaan. They wanted to make a league with Joshua so that they could stay in the land of Canaan. That's one of Satan's tactics, isn't it? Is he brings people into our lives who are not believers, and they attempt to make league with us and to to deceive us into doing that which God would not have us do. Jesus said that in the last days, one of the greatest sign of his soon return would be the great apostasy within the church. Well, how does apostasy come within the church? You don't have apostasy coming in the church unless you've got those who are not Christians coming into the church. This last week, Marla emailed me a copy of Gary Larson's little cartoon that he's got a bunch of sheep laying around in a pasture, and there's two sheep that are standing with sheep heads under their arms and zippers around their necks, and they're really wolves wearing sheep's clothing. And then you look closer, and every one of the sheep has a zipper around their head. And the one wolf says to the other, "Aren't there any real sheep left in the world anymore?" Well, that's what the Lord is saying about what would happen in the last days. Well, how would the church get that way? They would be deceived by those that would come in under false pretenses, undermining the faith of the believers, so that the believers don't become zealous in their sharing of the gospel, and those that come into the church are taught that which is a false gospel, and pretty soon you have, as the saints leave or as they die, you have a church left that has no Christians in it, because the new people that have come in have not been taught the truth. That is what the great deception of Satan is. He desires to steal the hearts of people so they think they're something that they are not. And with the gospel, he wants to present a false gospel that turns people from Christ, not to him. Well, that was probably Satan's intent with the Gibeonites. If God's going to destroy all the Canaanites, I'll have the Gibeonites lie and deceive, and they'll come in and they'll make a league with the Canaanites, and then they will become part of the nation of Israel, and I'll destroy Israel from within. Well, I wanted to see this morning that God had different plans. Much like Rachel, the Gibeonites, even though they lacked a complete understanding of who God was, much like Rahab in the city of Jericho, the Gibeonites lacked a complete understanding of God and his full character, but they'd seen that he is the true God. He is the one who delivers on his word. Their false gods, their idols, their satanic gods cannot stand against the true and the living God. And in their little knowledge that they did have, they wanted to turn to him. Much like Rahab, wanted to turn to the true and the living God, and was willing to do even that which could lead to her own death to be obedient to God. Well, so the Gibeonites come. They come 7 miles, but make it look like they've come hundreds. It says, "And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, 'We come from a far country, and now therefore make ye a league with us.'" In other words, we're from a distant land, and we want to be your allies. We don't want to fight with you. And we are willing to make a covenant with you, a league with you, where we will join with you. Well, the question that Joshua and the elders ask is a logical question. Where are you really from? But I want you to see one thing that Joshua and the elders of Israel and the princes of Israel did not do. They did not go to the Lord in prayer and ask God for his counsel and his wisdom. They just come. That's what's so amazing. They had just come from the blessings in the mountains of blessing and cursing. They just come from having Joshua read them the entire law. All 613 laws at the base of those two mountains. They'd repeated the laws. They said they would follow the Lord in obeying the laws. And they were sincere. But it's not hardly any time later because there hasn't been any other campaigns. There hasn't been any other activity involved with the nation of Israel until this moment after those events at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And we see that the nation of Israel forgets about calling on God. How quickly we forget. Now, if you look at those of you who are here on Wednesday night, lest the Lord doesn't speak to the nation of Israel, He also speaks through the high priest. Those of you who are here, remember we're going through the garments of the high priest, and one of the things that he had on him was the Urim and the Thummim. They were two stones, and the Lord would speak to Israel, giving them direction as they sought counsel of him through these two stones. We don't know exactly how the Lord did it, but the Scripture says He did it. And they were to go to the high priest, and they were to seek His direction. Did they have a high priest at this time? Yes, they did. Eleazar, the son of Aaron, was the high priest. He was the one. Joshua had been called by the Lord to lead Israel as Moses had been called to lead Israel. The Lord had spoken to Moses and gave Moses direction. He told Joshua, I will do the same for you. Yet we see that Joshua didn't go to Eleazar. He didn't go to the princes of Israel. But instead, they went to those that came and asked them some questions. And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. I'm sorry, verse 7. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, and they didn't know they were Hivites, but they were Hivites, peradventure, ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? Okay, so they ask them the question. They don't ask God, but they ask these men that have come. Are you deceiving us? Do you really dwell among us? Are you Hivites? That's kind of like coming and having somebody come in as a shaman into the church, but he's wearing a three-piece suit.